Today, we speak with the new director of the state's Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation about helping to connect people with disabilities to employers looking to add to their workforce in order to help both succeed. I'm Matt Mowry, co-publisher and executive editor of Business NH Magazine and Granite Media Group.
And I'm Christine Kerrigan, co-publisher of Business NH Magazine and chief creative officer for Granite Media Group. And welcome to BizCast NH.
So Christine, in honor of today's guest, I thought we'd talk about what prepared us most for our careers. Just that little topic. But I mean, people take such wending career paths as it is. I'm one of the, you know, few people I know that went in a certain major, came out with a job in that major and kept it. But how about you? What prepared you most for where you've ended up?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've kind of got a similar situation to you where I'm pretty much still within the same major. My major in college was visual communications, concentration in photography. I've sort of transitioned a little bit more into a graphic design area with a lot of my career, but still within that art realm. So I think... for me, interestingly enough, with careers, I feel like a lot of the things I learned, especially with photography, because I actually worked as a photographer right out of college for 5 years. I was a school portrait photographer. I got to I was the school picture day lady.
Smile.
So I feel like a lot of the actual technical stuff I learned on the job. College was great for me for theory, art theory, and composition, and you know all the things obviously you need. But I feel like on the job learning is where I've gained a lot of my career skills.
Absolutely, and for me, you know, I was a journalism major and really loved my courses and working on the school paper and all that, but it was my internships because that's the testing ground, right? You get able to go in and figure out, is this something I want to do, and be able to apply what you've learned, but also find out how much you don't know and learn from people who are in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's having people who are willing to take a risk on you and teach you, not just, you know, you're there to do the job, but they know that you're also there to learn and to support you through that. It was so helpful, and it just cemented for me, like, yeah, this is what I want to do, and help me so that when I did start my first full-paid gig, I already had experience working at a newspaper under my belt, so I knew what to expect going
on. Right, right. My college had a very good internship program as well. We were required to do two month-long internships and then one full semester-long internship where you worked 40 hours a week for a full semester. And I found that really an excellent experience because my full semester-long internship was actually at a magazine. And so that's what made me realize – it's not what made me realize I wanted to be in magazines. I've always had some sort of, you know, a passion for art and magazines. And I mean, growing up, I thought I was going to be a photographer for Rolling Stone. But, you know, I think that – in-person experience at that magazine that I interned at was definitely, definitely valuable in my career path.
I think it, that being said, this is such a great discussion for us to continue with our guest today, who knows firsthand about connecting people with jobs and helping to support them. So let's dive in.
Our guest this week is Richard K. Sala. He is the director of the Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation, or VR New Hampshire, which is part of the New Hampshire Department of Education. He administers the operations of VR New Hampshire in the development and implementation of federal and state programs, as well as authorizing and directing all aspects of program operations to accomplish agency outcomes for both individuals with disabilities and business partners. Richard is a former member of the State Board of Education and was previously employed by the New Hampshire Department of Education, where he served as an attorney from June 2018 to August 2019. More recently, he has served as a professor of law and director of the Academic Success Program and Online Learning Program at Vermont Law and Graduate School. Earlier, Richard served in the U.S. Marines, having received several Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medals and achievement medals for his time in the service. Richard has earned a Master's of Business Administration degree, Master of Environmental Law and Policy degree, and has been a member of the New Hampshire Bar Association since 2013. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So much to cover here. It's fascinating, the career path you've been on. But I think, you know, I want to do a little table setting for our listeners. So tell us more about the Bureau and what it does.
Yeah, so the Bureau is it's large. We cover really a spectrum of different areas, but I think you really said it at the beginning, which is, you know, what our job is to find, to work with people with disabilities and to get them, you know, started or restarted on their vocational journey, right? Finding the job that they want to have that's going to give them, you know, meaning and purpose, make them independent. And so, you know, we meet with people with all kinds of disabilities. We work with people who are blind and visually impaired. We work with the deaf and hard of hearing community. And what we do is, you know, we bring them in and we talk to them about what their interests are, you know, what their skill sets are. We think about what they need to be successful. We spend time, you know, doing counseling and getting them on that path. And then, you know, the goal is to get to place them in a job that's going to make, you know, make them feel good about what they're doing.
And you work with businesses too. Can you talk about how you go about connecting with businesses and how do you work with businesses to get them prepared to bring on this workforce?
Yeah, so we have great people at the Bureau. Tracy Fry and Terry Tedeschi both are part of the business engagement unit, and they go out and work with different partners to try to tell them what the Bureau is doing. One thing I like to tell people, one thing I like to say about my vision for the Bureau is that I want to be the LinkedIn for, you know, people with disabilities finding work. And to do that, you have to engage, you know, with the employers here in New Hampshire. And so we do a lot of outreach. We have an annual dinner to recognize some of the businesses that are really making good headway in the space. Last Friday, I was out at NHTI, and we partnered with NHTI to put on a job fair. In that case, it was for students.
And that's Concord's Community College.
That's right. Yeah, and I'm gonna miss people, but we had so many employers out there. FedEx was there, USPS was there, United States Postal Service, the Naval Yard was there, CVS. So many different vendors there, and gave those students an opportunity to walk around and talk to them about what they do, and you know, figure out if it was interesting to them. So it was a great opportunity not only to meet with students and to put them on their path, but to work with those employers and see them and thank them for being part of the Bureau's mission.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the maybe misconceptions that businesses have when it comes to looking at bringing people into their organization that have disabilities? Anything that your organization really is working to help overcome to let these people know that it can be a benefit to your organization to have this workforce in their businesses?
You know, that's a good question, actually. Not exactly sure how to answer it. I think, you know, what we want to do is really just, you know, make sure that they know that we're giving them someone who's ready to work, right? And that they have the tools, that they have the skill set, and that we're going to continue to provide support. And I think, you know, I think as we work with businesses, we just try to reinforce that, you know, reinforce that with them. And I think one of the benefits of working hard to get people into positions and into jobs is employers just organically realize that, you know, the person that they have is a person like any other person, even though they have disabilities and they're capable of the work and they can perform the tasks that they're being asked. And then what we really want to do is make sure employers have that they have a positive experience and then they want to come back to VR. And, you know, I want them to reach out and say, hey, we have this position open. Do you have somebody that could fill this role? So, you know, I don't know exactly on the other side, on the business side, you know, what keeps them or, you know, from hiring someone with disabilities or what their worries are. That's something I want to learn, you know, over the next few months. I've only been in the seat right now since January 12th, but I want to get out to employers and ask them questions like that so we can figure it out. But I think it's more important just to make sure that we're setting people up for success on the VR side, getting them employed, continuing to stay engaged for as long as it's needed, and then making sure employers, you know, have a positive experience and want to come back to VR and find more people to work, especially in an environment where, you know, unemployment is so low and the need for workers is so high.
Over the years, Business New Hampshire Magazine, we've done stories related to people with disabilities and workforce issues. And it seems one of the impediments is the, you know, the scary word of accommodations for businesses, you know, that automatically brings to mind, you know, it's expensive, it's time consuming, you know, when the fact is that a lot of accommodations, it seems, really don't necessarily have to cost a lot or don't take a lot to do an adjustment that makes the job easier for someone with a disability to make sure that they can do it effectively. Can you talk about the work of the Bureau when it comes to helping employers with making those accommodations, identifying them, making them happen?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, a lot of the times there's a misconception that the accommodations are going to be so burdensome. I think that's generally not true. And we're going to be there to support, and we provide a lot of the assets to the person working with VR to make sure that they're successful in the workplace. We're also, you know, part of partnering isn't just finding a place where we can employ people, but it's helping the employer figure out what they need to do to be successful, you know, hiring people with disabilities. And I think that you're right. That is a misconception. In fact, you know, I think one thing that's true is people without disabilities need accommodations of one kind or another sometimes, you know. And, you know, there's all kinds of different things that we think about, ergonomics and all these kinds of things to support people. And so, you know, it's just, you know, it's just another employee there to do the work, right? There to support whatever your mission is. And, you know, you're going to have really an extra an asset at your disposal if you're an employer, because you know you're going to be able to work with, you know, the Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation to kind of figure out, you know, what tools do we need, what is, you know, the most recent innovation in that space that you can use to help your employee. And I think the other thing is, not only do you get an employee and somebody who can do the work, but you're really contributing to the community, you know, making sure that people in your community are, you know, gainfully employed and finding meaningful work.
And, you know, we were in a bit of a workforce crunch. It's starting to become less severe, but still there's a shortage of workers out there. Yet despite that, the part of our population that has a higher than average unemployment rate are people with disabilities. Can you talk about the need you're seeing on your client side and what that workforce pool looks like for employers who may have not considered this before?
Yes, one thing I would say about that is we are seeing referrals going up. You know, we follow that trend. So we see people coming to VR. We see the number of people coming to VR looking to gain the skills, you know, gain the tools that they need to be successful growing. And on the other side, you know, when we go out and see the businesses, just like I was saying when I was at NHTI last week and visiting with the different employers, almost every single employer talks about how there's a need, you know, that they need people to work. And so, you know, we're trying to match these two things up. And, you know, one thing I would say to any employer who's finding themselves in a position where they need more workers, you know, they're putting out, you know, notices about, you know, about needing workers and they're not able to fill them, they should call up the Bureau and ask us, you know, how we can help, because we certainly can.
And we'll be right back. Join Business NH Magazine in partnership with the New Hampshire Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives at the Business of the Year Awards Luncheon on May 23rd at the DoubleTree by Hilton in downtown Manchester. This prestigious Business Awards Luncheon will honor the 2024 Business Leader of the Year, Nonprofit Leader of the Year, Businesses of the Year, and Nonprofit of the Year. Network and celebrate excellence in business and leadership in the community with New Hampshire business executives and their teams. More information and tickets are available at businessnhmagazine.com/events. Sponsored by the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation, Bank of New Hampshire, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Hampshire, Eversource, Northeast Delta Dental, and McLean Middleton. And we're back.
So we've been talking about your new job and leading an organization that helps connect people with jobs. But I want to talk a little bit about your own career path. And so let's start with what led you to join the Marine Corps?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I grew up in New York City. I have lots of brothers and sisters.
How big a family did you come from?
I have two brothers, and I have four sisters.
Oh, wow. Where do you fall in that?
I'm in the middle. So I have a younger brother, two younger sisters. I have two older sisters and an older brother.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. And to be honest, I spent a lot of time kind of banging around the street and probably doing things I'm not proud of and won't talk about on your podcast. but at one point, I realized that my younger brother, who's my best friend in the world, was kind of starting to do things I was doing, and I didn't like it. I wasn't real excited about it. And I can remember, I was sitting on a bench waiting for a bus to come one day, thinking about how I didn't want him to do the things that I was doing. And I looked up across the street, and there was a Marine recruiting office, and I just walked in, signed up. I was 17 at the time. So that's how I started. And strangely enough, as I look over my career path, I think I've done a lot of, it's been a great path. Yeah, I've enjoyed it, you know. When I look back at like some of the things that I have from when I was younger and things, when we had a fifth grade yearbook, mm-hmm. you know, you had your friends sign and things like that. And I had written in there, you know, in 10 years I will be, and I had written U.S. Marine. When I graduated from high school, and you know, you get your little high school picture in there and they ask you what you want to be. And I said lawyer. So I've managed to knock those two things out.
Check and check.
Yeah. That's how I started. That's how I started out in the Marine Corps.
How long did you serve in the Marine Corps for?
21 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what kept you in the Corps, and what did your Corps career look like, and what did you take away from that?
Oh, the answer could be really long. You know? So one of the things I loved about the Marine Corps was actually that you could do new things. Even though you were still in the Marine Corps, you never really got bored. Mm-hmm. You know, you could find new roads to travel, new things to do. So I started out as an infantry Marine in 1997. And even, you know, at the beginning, I was always looking for the next thing. Like once I figured out how to do something and I felt like I did it well, I wanted to move on. So I did all these different jobs. Like I started out as a mortarman. They're called 81 millimeter mortars. And then I was a forward observer. I went on to be a platoon sergeant. From there, I had to make the decision, you know, after your first tour, whether to stay in or whether to get out. Mm-hmm. Actually, I ended up staying in because I needed money for an engagement ring, and I was getting a bonus from the Marine Corps, so I decided to do one more tour, which turned into 21 years. And so, I applied to become an officer. I was encouraged by by officers who I served under to apply, and I applied and I got it. Went to the University of Colorado, and then went back as an infantry officer. And after my tour in Iraq, I came home and my daughter had just been born, and I didn't want to get out of the Marine Corps, but I thought maybe it was time to, you know, look for a new vocation. I applied to become a judge advocate, and I was selected, and that's how I ended up at law school. And I loved it. I loved being a lawyer.
I was going to say, what attracted you to the law?
You know, like I said, it was like always something that I had thought of in the back of my mind. You know, when I joined the Marine Corps in 1997, I never even thought I would go to college. It just was not something, you know, in my neighborhood that was a common thing you talked about. You know, rich people went to college and, you know, we would go do something else. Once I had the opportunity to go to college, I realized I really liked learning a lot. When I started thinking about what was next, I'll just backtrack for a second and say that it's hard to explain, but there are these things that come out basically every day. They're called Marine Administrative Messages, MAR admins, we call them. And they're just opportunities. It's a list of opportunities in the military. And I would read them every day. And that's how I found out about the program to become an officer. And that's how I found out about this judge advocate program called the Excess Leave Program. So I just saw it and thought I'd give it a shot. I mean, that's really how I like to live. You know, whatever pops into my mind that sounds fun and exciting, I go try it. Like I said, I went to law school, graduated. I spent some time as a criminal prosecutor. I spent some time as the officer in charge of a criminal prosecution office, served as general counsel to the commanding officer of Marine Rotational Force Darwin in Australia, came back and spent some time with serving in an office supporting the commanding general of 1st Marine Division in California. And then actually my last tour, which was really an amazing experience, I was the Marine officer instructor for an NROTC at the University of Rochester in upstate New York. So it was an amazing experience. And then in 2018, we decided to retire, and we had decided on, you know, New England generally. We thought we would retire in Vermont actually. But I didn't want to let them tax my retirement pay. So we started thinking about how we could live in New England, and keep, you know, the tax rate down. So we ended up in New Hampshire, you know, and, it's been a great ride.
And did you, once you came over to New Hampshire, is that when you started working with the Department of Education?
Yeah, so in 2018, I applied for the job as counsel to the commissioner of the Department of Education. Education is really important to me. I tell the story almost every chance I get, but I spent some time in a boys' home in upstate New York called the Children's Village. And while I was there, I had this teacher. She was an amazing human being. Her name was Marlene Leventhal. I stay in contact with her. She actually, when I was promoted to major, she drove and attended my ceremony. Ms. Leventhal was always reinforcing the importance of education. And then obviously, you know, when I got selected for the officer program, went to college, it kind of reinforced it. Like the more you could stay in education, the better off you'd be. And, you know, in terms of socioeconomics, I really feel like I started close to the bottom. And so when the opportunity came for me to be involved with education, to somehow be a part of helping students, you know, achieve their goals and their dreams, and to like help them in some way help, not just, the New Hampshire education system, but a system my own kids were going to go to. I just thought that would be really rewarding.
And then when this position at the Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation opened up, what was that process like for that role?
Yeah, I was from my time as counsel, I had worked with the previous director, Lisa Hatch. She was a great person, very nice to work with. I was on the State Board of Education. And so I had heard that Lisa was leaving. And at the time, I was serving as faculty at Vermont Law and Graduate School, which was also a rewarding experience. I'm doing lots of things I'd always wanted to do, you know, constitutional law and national security law and writing, you know, and things like that. But it was a lot of hours, a lot of work. I started thinking, you know, maybe I wanted to spend more time with my kids. My daughter's just got a couple more years before she heads off to college. She's in the summers now. She's like going to the school that she wants to go to and doing these programs. And I think, you know, every parent goes through this. You start to realize they're not going to be there forever. And my youngest son is 8. He plays hockey. And so that started taking up a lot of time. So I was thinking about, you know, just making that career change, and but I wanted to do work that I found meaningful. And so again, I found out that the director was leaving, and I know the program, you know, I know that it's meaningful work. I know it's important work. I know it's helpful to maybe a segment of the population that sometimes people forget about, they're, you know, underserved. And I thought it was an exciting opportunity. And so, you know, I applied.
And when did you join the Bureau, take over the reins officially?
I took over this position January 12th.
So you're very much in the midst of, you know, learning on the job, as it were, yourself. What has either surprised you as you've learned more about the Bureau and how what it does, or that you're most proud of this Bureau?
I think there weren't that many things that surprised me, just because I had interacted so much. One thing that I would say makes me proud is how committed the people at the Bureau are to helping people with disabilities find their path. I really appreciate it. You know, I especially nowadays with so many different, you know, forms of communication, you know, I can see on my Teams chat every day people communicating, you know, needing help or having a question, you know, but the purpose of all the interactions are to produce better outcomes for people with disabilities, and it's uplifting to see every day. And the second thing I would say that really makes me happy was going to that NHTI event. It was my first event that I had a chance to speak to people, and it was students. I love students. You know, they're at the beginning of their path. You know, I think everybody wishes they could go back to the beginning of their path, right? Like, there were so many people telling you things that you could have used or that you wish you would have listened to, you know, and now you're older and you're getting to meet with them and you're just trying to hopefully convey the same message, but in a way that really makes them, you know, take up that banner. And it was good to get out in front of a bunch of people and talk to them about, you know, dreaming big and not letting people tell them they can't, they absolutely can, and see their heads nodding, like subconsciously, like, you know, you're making an impact there. And then afterwards, as I was walking around, you know, the job fair, some of them would come up to you and say, you know, I really appreciated what you said, or, you know, there are things that I could benefit from by working with the Bureau. Can I get your contact information? So those things are amazing. I think the second part to your question, you know, just about, you know, being new, this is the most exciting part of any job, is the first 6 months, because you're learning tons of things, and then you're starting to get a vision about where you want to go and how you can be more efficient, how can you be more effective, how can you reach more people. To me, that's the most exciting part of the job, you know, is like really grinding it out to get the Bureau to be, you know, to meet your vision, and to get buy-in and to talk to people, and also to receive information. You know, you have ideas and people come back and you know, they're like, that doesn't work exactly like that on the ground. And then you just got to make some adjustments. So this to me is the most exciting time. You know, these first 6 months are going to be awesome.
Are there any upcoming initiatives or programs or outreach that you're doing that you want to tell our listeners about?
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, some of them aren't official yet, right? So I have to kind of think about how I want to answer
whatever
this,
you're able to share with us.
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing I would say is we've started really trying to do more with marketing. People are probably seeing spots now on, you know, NHPR and commercials on television about VR New Hampshire. You know, we are VR. That's the tagline we've been seeing. We want to do more of that. You know, I think a lot of one of the things that we could do better is making sure people know we're here. You know, I would love to reach a point where no one says to me when they meet me, oh, I didn't even know there was an agency that did that, you know, that could help me that way. So that's definitely one piece, is just continuing to grow, you know, our presence on social media, on television, on radio, so that people know we're here and will come and let us provide the services that we have that are available to them. I think the other thing I really want to do is I'm not exactly sure how yet, right, in this first 3 months, but I want to connect with every business in New Hampshire. And I know that sounds ambitious, but if you're not dreaming big, there's no point in dreaming at all. But I want to connect with every business in New Hampshire, and I'd love to get to a point where that we're partnering with everyone, that every business who has a website has a badge on it that says we partner with VR New Hampshire. So those are the different kinds of things we're thinking about, and hopefully can get in place over the next 12, 18 months.
And if businesses or folks with disabilities want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
So what I always tell people is they can reach out however, any means necessary, right? Like you can call, you can go to the website, you can just Google VR New Hampshire and you can email us, you can call us, you can send a carrier pigeon. As long as the message gets to us, we're going to reach back out. And I'm open to people reaching out to me directly. I can give my email out or,
my phone number. Whatever you'd like to do.
Yeah,
you got the audience.
So, it's richard.k.sala@doe.nh.gov. You can just send an email and say, hey, we want to learn. I'm a person with disabilities and I would like to get some support, or you're a business that's looking for workers. You can reach right out. You can call me on my cell phone, 603-419-0086. And if I don't answer right away, I will get back to you. So.
Excellent. Well, Richard, thank you so much for joining us today. Richard K. Sala is the director of the Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed the stories and information you heard on today's podcast, find more by subscribing to Business NH Magazine or visiting businessnhmagazine.com. I'm Matt Mowry.
And I'm Christine Kerrigan. BizCast NH is a production of Granite Media Group.